We're on the series on lesson number 7, Staying on Course is the series title from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Today's lesson is entitled, Warning, Fallen Rocks. Warning, Falling Rocks. There are some warnings today that I believe God is sending out all across our nation, trying to get people's attention. For those of you that are listening on the internet, this lesson is lesson number 7, and it is for Sunday, September the 12th. We just remembered yesterday the 20th anniversary of the incidents that happened in New York and in Washington and Upper Pennsylvania back on September the 11th, 2001. And you know, warning signs can be very annoying sometimes. There are places that have warning signs up and try to keep us from danger. Last night, I was talking to a man. We were flying from Charlotte into Chicago. And was talking to a man on the plane, witnessing to him, and talking about the warning signs God has given us. And how that God is wanting every person to come to repentance. And come to know Him as their Savior. And folks are not looking at the warning signs. Several years ago in the Seattle Times, they had a story. It was a sad story. It's all too familiar in our world today. God giving signs, people giving warnings, and folks around them not taking heed to those warnings. And in the story from the Seattle Times, it said, told of a 58-year-old woman that ignored a sign telling her not to cross a flooded road that was ahead. The sign said the streets are flooded. She ignored the thing. And she was swept away in her car and drowned inside the car. Couldn't get out. The water on the road probably looked pretty shallow to her as she got up to it, but she didn't know how strong the current was, and when she got down to the end of that road, she did not realize how deep it was, and it literally swept her car away. Can you imagine being in that car and not being able to get out, and you drown because you did not take heed to the warning signs? And folks, that's what God has given us in this book here. He has given us a book of warning signs. There are churches today, there are people today, there are preachers today that don't want to tell anybody that there is a place called hell. And nobody wants to go there. I thought about the stories that we saw when we went up to New York and saw the memorial for the 9/11. I remember seeing all the pictures of the towers and seeing all the burned uniforms of workers and nurses and people, and that whole stack of shoes. I don't know how many of you went with us up there that day. We saw that big stack of shoes and IDs and things that were burned and just mutilated in the fires. And you look at those things, and I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, why aren't people thinking about eternity? And folks, there are warning signs that God is giving to us about sin, about disobedience, about those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And people today don't realize really what sin is because everything has become normal. Those things that used to be known, even by the worst of sinners, today are considered to be no problem. It's all right. Just do what makes you feel good. And folks have ignored the warning signs that God has given about sin. And today, we're suffering the consequences of Adam's warning that he ignored from God. If you'll remember, God told him, Adam, I've given you everything in this garden. Everything. I've given you dominion over all this earth. However, there's one tree in the midst of the garden. I don't want you to eat of it. Because in the day that you do, you're going to die. God warned him. God told him of the consequences. And yet, Adam chose to ignore God's warning. And folks today are ignoring the warning signs. They're ignoring the Word of God. And they're making sin to seem like it's okay. You know, there's no problem. This man that I sat with on one leg of the flight last night, he was telling me, he was on his way to Memphis. And he was telling me how that in his church, that people weren't coming to church anymore. And they were trying to get people to come to church. They were feeding them and giving them water and all these things. And I told him, I said, but are you giving them the gospel? Because that's what's going to change their hearts and their lives. Listen, a man can go to hell on a full stomach and a new suit of clothes if he doesn't hear about the message of the gospel. Somebody's got to tell him the truth of that. And folks today are so worried about offending somebody. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. He said, it breaks my heart. But God's going to wipe away all our tears one day in heaven, isn't he? I said, yeah, but you got to remember why those tears are going to be there. And I said, those tears, I believe in my heart, are going to be in Revelation chapter 21, God's going to wipe away those tears. But in Revelation chapter 20, it's because you and I that are saved are standing in the grandstands of heaven watching those folks standing before God, the great judge. And he's looking at them and saying, I'm sorry, I never knew you. And the Bible said that they are being literally cast into the lake of fire. And some of those folks, I imagine in my heart and my mind, and as the angels are dragging them away to cast them into hell, they're saying, but nobody ever told me. And they see one of us. In the grandstands, there's my neighbor. He never told me. She never said anything. And God looks over and says, is that true? You never told them about Jesus? You never told them how to go to heaven? And with tears flowing down our cheeks, we say, no, Lord. We didn't take time to do that. And then we have to watch as those folks are cast into hell. There's going to be tears there in heaven because folks did not take heed to the warnings that some of us have given to our neighbors, our friends, our family, our loved ones, the folks we work with. We've tried to give them the gospel. We've tried to tell them of their need to be saved, and they would not listen. And we watch them as they're cast into hell. And we watch them as we hear those words say, I never knew you. His name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And folks, there are going to be tears in heaven. But you know what? We can avoid a lot of that if we will do what we've got to do. This man said, well, how are we going to do that if we can't get them in church? I said, you go to where they are. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, when he went out to all the villages and the areas there, where he was preaching and teaching the people, and he looked upon the multitude. Do you know what the multitude is? It is an innumerable amount. And he looked upon the multitude of the people, and he saw them scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And he didn't go down here to the local Salvation Army and say, hey, they need some clothes. They didn't go to the Goodwill store. God didn't send them to the Goodwill store and say, hey, get them some clothes or to some other place and get them some food. That's not what they were needing. They were lost sheep that needed a shepherd. And what did Jesus do? He looked at his disciples, those who knew him as their Savior. And he said unto them, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Folks, you and I are those laborers today. There's a job to be done. Man, I have worked since Friday morning early trying to get things fixed up and cleaned up around my dad's house and haul things off. I bought a dumpster and had it brought down there and filled that thing up in a day and a half with stuff that had to just be thrown away. And man, I was so tired. And sometimes you get tired in the ministry of telling folks about Christ. But what did our pastor preach to us last Sunday night? About not being weary. Listen, why don't we need to be weary? Because we're going to reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Listen, there are folks that need to take heed to the warning signs. Look at our theme verse this morning. Look at what he said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 6. Therefore, let us, Christian, fellow believer, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Be serious-minded about this thing. God is giving the warning signs. Don't ignore God's warning signs. We're seeing all these things come to pass in our world today. And some folks have come back and said, man, I'm just worried about what's going to happen. Don't be worried. These are the things that God said was going to happen in His Word before our Savior returns. And folks, we've got a lot to get done before our Savior returns if we're ever going to reach our world with the gospel. And we each have to get busy about that. Listen, God gives warning signs. Paul tried to remind these folks, therefore, let us not sleep. Don't be weary. Don't fall away. Listen, don't fall away. Don't neglect the work that God has set before us to do, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Why did Paul write these words? Why did he say this? He did this because he loved these Thessalonian believers. He cared for them and he wanted them to be accountable unto God so that when they stood before him, they would not be ashamed before God. I believe there's going to be a lot of born-again believers, Christians, if you say, that are going to stand before God one day. They're going to go into heaven. They're going to enjoy the glories of heaven. But they're going to be ashamed because they never did anything for God. They never gave out any warning signs. They've got no treasure in heaven. Folks, I want to gather up some treasure in heaven. I don't know about you. Jesus is coming again. And you know what? If he comes today, that's his plan. But I'm going to serve him. And I've determined in my heart to live for him, whether he comes today or whether he comes 10 years from today. I want to give him my best. My sister was asking me if I was planning to retire anytime soon. And I said, nope. Nope. I don't want to retire. Honey, I just want to refire. Amen. I want to keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Warning signs, folks. Look at it today in this lesson with me. The last six verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we saw how the Apostle Paul exhorted the believers in Thessalonica. He tried to comfort them in the fact that their saved loved ones who had died and gone on to be with the Lord, they were indeed in the presence of the Lord. And one day soon, okay, and we don't know when it's going to be, but one day soon, look what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, what a day that's going to be. What a day. And Paul knew the fiery trials that these folks were going through. He knew the persecutions that they were having to suffer. They faced him every day. But then Paul encouraged them there in that verse 18. Look what he said. He said, wherefore, or because of this great coming event, because we're going to be with the Lord one day. He said, therefore, wherefore, comfort, strengthen, encourage, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again, folks. It's going to be worth it to serve Him, to be found faithful, to tell others, to endure the trials and the persecutions. Listen, it's all going to be worth it. Here in the first few verses of chapter number 5, Paul now tells them why. He didn't just tell them they needed to continue doing what they were doing, but he tells them here why they needed to continue what they were doing and why they ought to be doing what they were doing for the Lord as born-again believers. I want us to look at it here. In verses 1 and 2, he gives them a reminder of the day of the Lord. Look at what he said. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now remember, in these passages of Scripture, Paul is trying to remind them that they already knew of the times and the seasons that were going to lead up to the Lord Jesus coming again. They knew of that. They had been taught these things. Sometimes we are taught how to do things, but if we don't do what we've been taught, we lose what we've been taught, do we not? I had somebody that called me the other day, and they said, I've got a neighbor that wants to tell, that needs to be told about the Lord Jesus, but I've gotten rusty on it. And folks, if we don't stay in tune with the Word of God, if we don't keep that burden in our hearts, if we're not out trying to plant the seed, we'll forget about what we did. We'll forget how to plant that seed. We'll forget the Scriptures. And listen, we don't need to do that. We need to continually be reminded of what Christ did for us so that we can be able to share that with someone else and they can be saved. He goes on here in verse number 2. He said, he teaches them the same thing that Jesus said back in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Jesus told him, he said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said, listen, that's not the important things you need to be worried about right now. In verse 7, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his power. But verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after you receive the Holy Ghost, or after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus told those disciples, here's the important thing you need to be concerned about, and that is getting the gospel to those who are lost. Listen, can you imagine going down a road and you're going to come to a bridge and the bridge is out? A flood has come through and knocked out that bridge, and you don't know that the bridge is out. And what happens when you get to the end of that road going 45, 55 miles an hour? You're going to go off the edge of the bridge, aren't you? And you're going to be killed. And you know what? Folks are heading down the life way today, the highway of life, and they have no clue that at the end of that road, there's an eternity they're going to meet. And they can either be with God in heaven one day, or they're going to be separated from God. And the only thing that's going to make the difference is the fact of someone sharing the message of the gospel with them. And then they take heed to the message. Can you imagine driving down the road? You got warning signs all up and down that road saying, bridge is out, bridge is out. You drive for a mile or two, everything looks good. You come to another sign, bridge is out, turn around, detour, whatever, and you don't follow the detour. And you plunge to your death because you didn't obey the warning signs. Paul is trying to tell them here, listen, you need to know there is a time coming that Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. We don't know when he's coming. And that's why we need to help folks to be prepared for that day. Listen, I thought on that trip last night, on the first trip, going up to Chicago area, man, the weather was bad. When I flew from Baltimore down to Charlotte, the weather was bad. I mean, we didn't get a cup of water. They didn't give us a peanut, pretzel, anything. Nothing. And everybody's sitting there like this. You know the storms that we had down here, okay? And we're flying through some of that stuff and things going like this. And I'm thinking, I'm about to meet Jesus, yeah? But you know what? I wasn't worried about it. But the folks, everybody I gave a gospel tract, no one rejected that gospel tract. Nobody. I ran out. I had some more packed in my bag, and I put them back in my pocket when I got off the plane. And I thought, you know what? I love this. I just love this. And I thought, Lord, shake them up. Make them understand death comes to all one day. And God gives us those warning signs, folks. But you and I need to be taking heed to them so that we can help them to come to know Jesus as their Savior. And here in these passages, Paul is trying to remind them of these things. He's given them some reminders. I want us to go down to verse number 3. I want you to look at these things. We see, first of all, a reminder of the day of the Lord. But we're going to see in verse 3 the results of the day of the Lord. Look at it. Verse 3, he said, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." My wife and I talked many times about what it was going to be like when she had our children. At that time, I don't know if they still do this or not, but we took Lamaze classes. I don't know if they do that now or not. You know, they probably do it by computer or something. I got an app for that, you know, whatever. But we had to go in, and I had to be prepared. I didn't know when this was going to happen. And I remember when our son was born, I was with a government inspector. I was with a federal inspector. We're trying to get a shipment ready to ship out to DPSC up in Philadelphia. And the inspector was there, and my wife calls me, okay? And she said, "Guess what?" And I said, "I don't know. What? You okay?" She said, "Nope. The water broke, and I got to go." I said, "Not now. The inspector's here." And she said, "I got to go now." And you know what? It was expected, but it was not expected. We knew it was going to happen, but we didn't know when it was going to happen. But when it happened, there was nothing more I could do about it. That baby was coming. I remember going in there with her, and I'm helping her blow like this. And then I'm about to pass out because, you know, she's laying on the bed. I'm about to pass out laying over there. And I'm watching the monitors, and they told us, you know, the heart rate does this, and the heart rate does that when it's about ready to come. And the nurse came in and said, "Oh, you got time." And I'm looking at that monitor. I'm thinking, we don't have time. And I went out there and got the nurse, and she said, "Honey, it's okay. You got plenty of time." I said, "Please, just come in and check her again." She came in. She said, "We got to go." Running down the hallway, I got one end of the thing. And I said, "Is the doctor in there?" Not yet. She grabs this little guy that's, I guess he was an intern or whatever. He said, "I've not done this before." She said, "Come on, you'll learn. And so we're both down there. And I helped deliver both of our babies that way. I helped deliver both of them. And this guy's in there, he's sweating, and I'm sweating. But it happened, and there was nothing more you could do about it. And Paul is saying here, listen, when they say peace and safety, everything's all right, you watch. Sudden destruction is going to come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Folks, the day is coming. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, Satan knows now. Let me tell you this. Satan knows his days are numbered. I truly believe that is why Everything so evil we're seeing around us come to pass today. The laws that are changing to accept that which used to be sin and still is, but they consider it a normal way of living today. Listen, it's sad, but the devil has deceived them. But one day, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, that one day the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. There's a day coming. But folks, until that day, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to continue to do what he has done. Deceiving people. Causing them to turn away and say, oh, listen. Just like he did with Eve. Oh, listen. If you eat this fruit, God, you're not going to really die. God loves you. God's a God of love. Don't worry about those things. Listen, in the day that you eat that fruit, you're going to be wise. Your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be as gods. You're going to know all these great things. And the devil makes it paint such a pretty picture. And the Bible says that she looked on that fruit. It was pretty. It looked tasty. It was one that was going to give you wisdom. And she gave unto her husband that was with her. Listen, folks, he was there. God told him not to do this. And he willingly chose to disobey the warning. And look what we're suffering with some 6,000 years later. The consequences of one act of disobedience. Folks, the devil has blinded folks. The devil has caused folks to be sidetracked, to think that they can get away with sin. There were folks in that airport, I couldn't tell what they were. I honestly do not know what they were. Couldn't tell you what they were. I just said, howdy, you know, pass them on by. Folks, the devil has deceived people. And the Bible said here, and they shall not escape. Just imagine the events that took place at Pearl Harbor in 1941. Imagine the things that happened on 9/11 back in 2001. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, and you and I are taken out of here, but then the day of the Lord comes and His wrath comes upon this earth. This earth has never experienced anything like what they're going to go through. They don't realize what's going to happen when the day of the Lord actually comes. And my friend, that day of great tribulation is going to come. God's wrath is going to be unleashed upon this earth. Folks have thought that they, for so long, they could get away with literally murder unborn children. They can get away with stealing and robbing and perverting lifestyles. And folks, He's not going to allow it to continue on. And you know what? Do you know the thing that burdens my heart is I know folks are still lost. I've witnessed to every one of my neighbors, and I had one of them come back to me. Now, I've got to lead two to Christ. But I had one of them's wife come back to me and say, don't talk to my husband anymore about Jesus. Don't talk to him anymore about this. I said, why not? Because he comes back home and he gets mean and he gets mad. He gets all upset. Don't talk to my husband anymore about Jesus. Folks, listen to me. The day of the Lord is coming. I don't know about you. If you know somebody that's lost, I wouldn't want them to go through this. I would not want them to have to suffer for eternity because they neglected the warning signs. They neglected God's message. They turned to the side. But then Paul in verses 4 and 5, I got to get through this. He not only gives us a reminder, he not only tells us the results of the day of the Lord, but he gives us the responsibility that we have because of the day of the Lord. Look at verses 4 and 5. Look at the condition of these Thessalonian believers. He said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Aren't you glad you're not in darkness anymore? I told that man last night on the plane, I am so glad that as a 15 and a half year old boy, somebody told me about Jesus. I rode that Sunday school bus to church. I heard the gospel. I got on my knees in that back bedroom and I asked the Lord God to save me, forgive me my sin, and to save my unworthy soul. And He did that. And I'm not walking in darkness anymore. I'm walking in light. I'm not stumbling over the devil's deceptions anymore like that. Paul reminds me here, he said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Because these folks had turned away from idols, they had turned away from their sinful ways of living so as to receive the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior. Paul here reminds them that they were no longer in the darkness of sin. Folks, when you got saved, God brought you out of darkness. He set you in His light. We're walking in His light today. We've got no excuse to turn back and go back into the world again. We have the light of God's Word. We have it today. So now, knowing the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that it could be at any day. We know that it could be at any hour. We don't know when it's coming. We need to be watching. We need to be watching. We need to be working. We need to be preparing for that day. We need to help prepare others. Titus put it this way in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Listen, folks, we don't do good works to be saved. We do those good works because we are saved. We do what we do for God because we're thankful for what God did for us. We are walking in the light. And those folks around us that are lost, they're still walking in darkness. My mom, you remember my mom when she was up here just a month ago? She's legally blind, okay? She's walking in physical darkness. And I would take her. We had a tornado warning at the house when she was here that week. We got all the alarms. And it said, you need to get down in your basement. Just a few miles up in Pennsylvania, I think it knocked out some houses and stuff. It didn't hit our area, but it knocked out some houses up in that area. I had to take her down in the basement. She was afraid. And I said, you just hold my arm. I can see where we're going. I can't see. I can't see. I said, the light is on. We're walking down the steps. You just hold on to my arm. She was afraid. There are people today walking in darkness. They're so afraid. They don't know where they're at. And she had gone that way the day before and made that turn thinking it was going to the bathroom. And when she got to the edge of the steps, her walker, you know that thing that she had, went all the way down the steps. Scared me to death. Scared me to death. And she was afraid. Why? Because she was walking in physical darkness. Folks are out there today walking in spiritual darkness. And you know what's really scary? The devil's got them deceived and they're not afraid. They need to have the light shine unto them. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. He made a promise, folks. He's coming again. But we need to be giving them the signs of His coming. Now look at the conduct of these believers in verses 6 through 8. In verses 6 through 8, Paul writes, he said, "Let therefore let us not sleep as do others, But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Listen, their conduct as believers was to be watchful. It was to be self-controlled. Listen, don't get caught up in this day of spiritual liberty. I've had so many folks that tell me, we don't go to that church down there where you are anymore because we're not living in legalism. And I said, what do you mean by that? And they can feel good, okay? That's what they said. We don't have a problem with a little social drinking. We don't have a problem with this watching these types of movies and things like that. We don't have a problem just going to church one time a week. God knows our heart. And by that time, I was so sick of it. I said, yeah, God knows your heart is deceitful and wicked. That's what He knows. Listen to me, folks. Folks today need to have a watchful conduct about them. If we name the name of Christ, we need to be living as if God was going to come today. I remember when our kids were little, and I'd tell them to go do something. And as long as I stood there at the door, and I'd say, you need to clean out from underneath that bed. Get that stuff out. I bet there were 5 years worth of underwear and socks under my son's bed sometimes. And as long as I was standing there watching, he was in there getting it out, pulling it out. He was grumbling. I'd say, I couldn't hear that. What was it? Nothing, Daddy, nothing. And I'd walk away, and I'd just stand outside the door. He didn't know I was standing there. And I'd wait. He'd look around, and he saw that I wasn't there. You know what he did? He went to his closet, and he went in that toy box and got out some little soldiers and stuff. He's sitting there in that toy closet playing with stuff. And I'd walk back in there like this, real quiet. I'd walk around over there, and I'd say, Stephen, what are you doing? He'd jump, and he said, oh, I'm just cleaning out my closet, Daddy. I said, did you get all the stuff out from under your bed? No, not yet. I said, get the bed cleaned out. Can't you smell that? Okay. Get it cleaned out. If he knew I was watching, he did his work. But you know what? Many born-again believers today have forgotten that God is watching. And you know what they've forgotten to do? They've forgotten to be watchful for His coming. We need to have a watchful conduct. We need to have a self-controlled conduct. While the world says, oh, it's all right, you're going to heaven, but you can still do this. You can just ask God to forgive you for it. No. That would be like me saying, I'm married, but I'm going to go cheat on my wife, and then I'll come back and ask her to forgive me for it. Well, she can shoot, okay? I wouldn't have to worry about divorce court. She wouldn't go that far. I'm not going to do that. You know why I'm not going to do that? Because I love her. And you know what? If we love the Lord, we're not going to walk and get away distracted and get into the things of this old world. Folks look at people today and they say, well, I thought they were Christians. And it breaks your heart when they talk the way they do and they act the way they do. And they do the things that they do. Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. They don't realize the condition they need to be living for God. But secondly, look at this. They needed never to forget that through their acceptance of God's great gift of salvation, God had made them to be lights for Him in a dark world of sin. I believe Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your way of living, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in Ephesians, Paul said this. He said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the world. Walk as children of light. We've got a responsibility, folks. We've got a responsibility. We're to be controlled by God's sweet Holy Spirit. Now, how are we to do that? Look at verses 8 through 10. They would remain in loving and confident power and strength in the Lord. They were to do this through God's power, not their own. Look what he said, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together for him. Folks, we got to keep our hearts protected. We got to keep our minds protected from the things that we see today. How do we do that? With the breastplate of faith and the helmet of love. We got to never forget what God did for us. He did for us what he did because he loved us. Therefore, we ought to do what we do for God because we love him. Amen. And then he said here, through the hope of salvation. Lost people today stand in hopeless darkness, folks. They don't know the hope and the peace and the joy that you and I have because they don't know Christ. But we can give them warning. We can help them take heed to the wrath to come and be saved and know Christ as their Savior. Then look at verse 11, their response to the day of the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. When Paul encouraged these folks, he said, comfort one another with these words. In verse 18 of chapter 4, he said, comfort one another with these words. He's telling them again, remind your brothers, your sisters in Christ, comfort them, strengthen them, encourage them. Edify them. We're to encourage one another. Listen, we got a brother or sister that's gotten weary in well-doing, that's gotten weary in serving the Lord. They just want to give up. Encourage them. Strengthen them in the Lord. That's what we got to do. Folks, let me ask you this question. If the rapture were to take place in the next 5 minutes today, how ready, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not ready as a Christian and 10 being ready and waiting, what number would you say that you're at right now? It's going to be wonderful to be in heaven, don't get me wrong. But we're going to stand before God. That's the first thing that's going to happen. We're going to give account unto God, folks. How ready are we to stand before the Lord? How ready are we for the rapturing out of the body of believers called the church? Let me ask you this. If your number on the scale today would be anything less than 10, how much more time do you think you would need to have to bring yourself up to a 10 that's saying you're ready and waiting? We got down to North Carolina, been trying to get this house cleaned out. And the day of the sale is coming. You know what? There was a lot of waste. A lot of things that went to waste. And folks, you know what? There's going to be a day when we stand before God, if we've not done what we ought to be doing for him, that we're going to see as waste. They're going to be thrown out. You can't go back and retrieve that time. But we can start today. And we can say, dear Lord, take my life today and help me to be that witness for you that you want me to be. Help me, God, to give out the warning signs so that folks know that you're coming again. Falling rocks ahead, bridges out, the warning signs. We need to take heed so that the world can take heed today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, you know today. And God, it breaks my heart. I'm tired. I'm physically tired. My brain is not working right this morning. I'm just tired, Lord. God, I want you to take the words that I've spoken today and speak to our class today. As brothers and sisters in Christ, God, help us to encourage one another to be ready for that coming day. Lord, we know you're coming. We know many of the folks around us are not ready for that day. Help us, Lord, to give out the warning signs, to share the message of the gospel with them before it's eternally too late, both for them to be saved and for us to know, God, that we've done what we ought to do for you. God, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody listening to the sound of my voice today, that they would be willing to listen and take heed to the warning signs and come to know you today before it's eternally too late. Help our pastor now, God, as he stands to preach. Give him strength this morning. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. You know we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today, folks. God bless you for being in class.